Good morning. You're tuned into the M&M Show. That's Maria in the morning. The time is now 7:08. I'm your host, DJ Fantel, better known as Navy Petty Officer Maria Alvarez. And as promised, I'm joined by NASSIG's Commanding Officer, Captain Aaron Shoemaker. Now, sir, what are we going to be talking about this morning?
Well, today we're going to talk about suicide prevention. September is National Suicide Prevention Awareness Month, and it's a topic that's very close to my heart. So I'd like to share some information about suicide prevention and talk about NAS Sigonella's commitment to preventing suicide across the total force, and I believe that every single one of us has a role to play in it.
Absolutely, sir. Can't wait to get into that. So keep it right here. We're going to be getting into the theme for this month right here on 105.9 AFN Sigonella, that cessation serving you America's best. So, Captain, before we get started, because of the heaviness of the topic, I would like to start the show by sharing the veteran/military crisis line contact information from a U.S. phone number. You can dial 988 or text 838255. That's from any DSN phone on base. Just dial 988. And then from an international phone number, you can dial +1-844-702-5495 or chat online at veteranscrisisline.net. I'll share that information a few more times throughout this hour. Now, turning it over to you, sir. Again, thank you so much for coming in and talking about this very important topic. So I do want to start off by asking, what is the Department of Defense's Suicide Prevention Awareness Month theme this year? And how does that theme support ending suicide among service members, veterans, DOD civilians, and their family members?
There are campaigns I'll talk about briefly this morning. The first one is the Department of Defense's theme, and it's Joining Your Fight, Connect to Protect. And this theme highlights the significant role that connections to family, friends, and community members and resources play in preventing suicide. The Department of Navy Culture and Force Resiliency Office has also integrated the DoD's call to action with its own theme this year, which is Your Quality of Service Matters. In the Connect to Protect call to action from the Department of Defense, it's a call for all of us to focus on community, collaboration, connection, and hope. Promoting hope, community, and care emphasizes help seeking, it reduces stigma, encourages lethal means safety, and increases awareness and utilization of suicide prevention resources. On the Navy's theme of Quality of Service Matters, it's a commitment to implement support and resources that enhance the Department of Defense Connect to Protect call to action. Every sailor, every Marine, every member of this community, regardless of service affiliation or nationality, deserves to serve in a climate where their health and well-being extends beyond the workplace. Quality of service in the Navy encompasses a commitment to excellence in operational readiness, care of service members, and our civilians, provision of health care, family support, and community engagement. And then, as always, I think it's important to remind listeners that suicide prevention is a year-round Department of Defense priority and an all-hands effort. It's not something that we can just focus on one month a year or one day of year. It's got to be something we focus on every single day of the year. And throughout this Awareness Month campaign, we'll share valuable tools that bring added attention to the complex issue of suicide and emphasize available resources and support.
Yeah, and there are many, many resources like the ones that I did mention earlier. We want you to keep it right here. We're continuing this conversation on suicide awareness and prevention. If you're just now joining us, I'm in the studio with Captain Aaron Shoemaker talking all about Suicide Awareness and Prevention Month. Now, sir, you mentioned suicide prevention and awareness is a topic close to your heart. Can you expand on why that is for our audience?
You bet. I've shared my story before, and maybe some people are going to hear it for the first time today. And I'll be honest and admit that it's never easy to talk about, but every time I do talk about it, it's not quite as hard as it was before. But I lost my younger brother to suicide back in March of 2020. And as you might expect, it devastated me. It devastated my family. It was really hard to come to terms with because I've always believed, and I continue to believe, that suicide is preventable. And then a few months after my brother's death, somebody very close to my family attempted suicide. And thankfully, they survived and they're thriving. They're doing extremely well today. But that was a tough time for me. And, you know, I wasn't sure if I was good or not. I noticed that I was having trouble sleeping. I was waking up kind of foggy. And I decided to take some of the advice that I had given other people and that the Navy had certainly given me, is that if I didn't feel okay, that was okay. I just should go talk to somebody. So I did. I ended up meeting with a counselor for about 8 months, and it was probably one of the best decisions I've ever made. I know we'll talk a little bit about this more today and throughout the month, but there are stigmas out there, especially for those of us in uniform, that somehow admitting that you have a problem and getting help for that problem is a form of a weakness. I can tell you firsthand that me getting counseling had zero impact on my security clearance, had zero impact on my promotion to captain, and had zero impact on my selection to be the CO of this base. So for anybody out there that may fear any type of adverse repercussions of seeking help, don't fall for it. It's okay if you're not okay, and it is okay if you get help.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, now that you mention it, how can you, myself, or our audience members be a year-round suicide prevention advocate for their family, unit, or peers?
So connecting that with the DoD's theme of about joining the fight and connecting, I think there's three primary ways that each one of us can become a suicide prevention advocate. It's to join the fight, connect with others, and to speak up. When I talk about joining the fight, what I really mean is you need to be willing to listen and talk to others. Learn about suicide prevention resources and tools. Prioritize access to medical and non-medical counseling. Learn what those indicators are that somebody might be contemplating suicide. Spend time with friends and family members in person, or for a lot of us here, we have to do that virtually, whether it's over the phone or over the internet. Seek support from your peers, your family members, or health professionals when you need it. Like I said, it's okay if you need help. The Navy's implementation of the Brandon Act allows service members to self-initiate referrals for mental health evaluations repercussion-free, so take advantage of that if you need to. And commanding officers and supervisors who show their full support for these types of referrals, that only reinforces the critical message that help seeking is a sign of strength. And then the last thing I'll say about at least joining the fight is take actionable items to adopt ways to make the means, access to the means of suicide, more difficult. And make it a normal practice in your day. And that's kind of a strange one here because we can't have personal firearms here, but certainly all of us are most likely headed back to the United States at some point where you could own a personal firearm. So that step is really about taking actions to make it harder to get to your personal weapon, locking up dangerous medications, those kinds of things.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
Number two, when we talk about connecting with others, we should really focus on checking in with friends and family, encourage them to stay connected with their friends and family, whether it's your coworkers in the office, somebody you run into at the gym. There should not be a stranger on the base. When you talk about suicide, use destigmatizing language, and there are safe ways to talk about suicide. Participate in group activities. You know, if somebody is sharing something with you, listen to them in a non-judgmental way. Resist the temptation to try to solve their problem. And then provide reassurance to anybody that's struggling. Let them know that you care and express your concern. And then encourage anybody, whether it's a family member, somebody you work with, if any of you are experiencing stress or trauma or other challenges, encourage them to access the resources at Fleet and Family, the Military Life Counselors, chaplains, and your chain of command. And then the last thing I would just say is on this point is just when we say speak up, it's really just being brave and bold. And if you're concerned about yourself or someone, ask if they are thinking about suicide. Ask them if they have a plan and ask them if they have the means, such as a firearm or a medication or other method of self-harm. It's not only okay, but it's highly encouraged to be very direct when someone's exhibiting suicidal ideation warning signs. Take what they say seriously and ask how you can help. And then listen and offer support. But stay calm while you express your concern. The guidance given to parents about starting the conversation with their children about suicide is the same. If you notice any warning signs in your child, ask them directly if they have thoughts about hurting themselves or ending their life. Research suggests that talking about suicide does not lead to suicide.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things where sometimes it's hard to kind of like bring up that conversation. But again, mm-hmm. like you do need to ask those important questions because you never know what's going on in someone's day to day, especially when you work with them, you know, mm-hmm. so close and people get busy. But it is nice to always, again, check in and learn those things about them that maybe they share things with you. So always being on the lookout, always lending that ear to people who might need it. We want you to keep it right here. We're continuing this conversation on suicide awareness and prevention. You're just now joining us. The CO and I have been talking about Suicide Awareness and Prevention Month. Now, sir, I have to ask, what should you do if you believe someone is at imminent risk of suicide?
You need to act quickly. Okay, don't leave that person alone and seek help immediately. We mentioned these numbers before, I'll mention them again, but from an international phone, you can dial 095-56-1911. And that will connect you with our emergency dispatch, or you can dial 911 from any DSN line on base. You can also dial 988 from any DSN phone on base, and that will connect you with the suicide hotline. But in the moment of crisis, call the 911 number. You can also contact a chaplain or the crisis line, like the Veterans and Military Crisis line we've talked about earlier. If you're traveling throughout Europe and you have an emergency, there's an app called the 112 Where Are You app, and it was developed for calling the European Union emergency number 112, and it automatically sends your location information and all the other information you've included in the app to the local ambulance, firefighters, or police so that you can get a rapid response. And if you are on the phone with somebody who you believe is in immediate danger, try to keep them on the line for as long as possible while you or someone else gets in touch with emergency services. Ask if there's someone nearby who could offer support and just keep talking to them until help arrives.
Yeah, I think those are definitely some good ways to lean into it. Again, you know, letting them know they're not alone. You're still carrying on that conversation with them, engaging in conversation, even if you aren't there. Mm-hmm. So eventually the help that they need will get there.
Absolutely.
Now, sir, what are some of those risk factors for suicide that people should be aware of?
A long list I'll go through here, but it's important to go through it because we need to hear it. We need to be more familiar with the signs that maybe we need to act immediately. All right. So these are risk factors that we need to be attuned to so we can notice those in the behaviors of either ourselves or others and then promote the protective factors that support resilience. So someone listening right now recognizes that at least in themselves or someone that they know or love is currently exhibiting any of these, even just a few of these warning signs, then they should know it's okay to go and ask that friend or family member directly if they are thinking about suicide. Then we'd be able to encourage them to get the help or even save a life. That could happen today. Every one of us has an opportunity to save a life from suicide. Here are those risk factors to watch out for. If you see increased use of alcohol or drugs, any violent behavior, rage, uncontrolled anger, or seeking revenge, history of mental illness treatment, a recent challenging major life event such as divorce or other romantic relationship challenges, the loss of a job or financial distress, feeling that there's no reason for living or having no sense of purpose in your life, strong anxiety, agitation, the inability to sleep or sleeping all the time. Those can be indicators that maybe suicide might be a factor to consider for assistance there. The feeling of being trapped, like there's no way out, or feelings of hopelessness, self-isolation, withdrawal from friends and family and society, acting reckless, risky activities, seemingly without thinking, any dramatic mood changes. If you notice somebody that's given away their prized personal possessions or seeking long-term care for their pets, those are all risk factors that should cue us into that, hey, perhaps whoever is exhibiting these things might be struggling with suicide. So if you see those, like we talked about before, act immediately. Ask them directly, are they thinking about suicide? And then stay connected with them until you can get them connected to resources.
Yeah, I think sometimes that it is one of those things where it is harder to confront friends and family members when you come up to it. And so, you know, proceed with caution. But again, you can't beat around the bush. You know, you need to know if things aren't right. You just need to talk. You can do it in a loving way, which is always the best, I feel like.
Right. So, well, and you know, what I would say on that is, you know, we talked earlier about asking for help is a sign of strength, and asking somebody if they need help is a sign of love. So I'm hoping that all of us care about all of the people around us. And if you see somebody wrestling with some difficult circumstances, it's an act of love to ask them. Don't be afraid of that conversation.
Yeah, of course. I want you to keep it right here. We're continuing that conversation about suicide awareness and prevention and how you can play a part. You're just now joining us, Captain Aaron Shoemaker, and I have been talking about suicide awareness and prevention. Now, sir, earlier I heard you mention lethal means of safety. So what is that lethal means of safety?
Lethal means safety involves making a suicide method like medication or a firearm less available and less likely to cause death in a suicide attempt. The goal is to make the suicide methods or means more difficult to access when someone is at risk for suicide, because research has proven that putting time and distance between an at-risk individual and a means of suicide is an effective way to prevent death by suicide. Interesting, this may not be a surprise to some, but firearms continue to be the leading method of suicide death among service members. Through collaboration with the Department of Veteran Affairs, the Department of the Navy has distributed over 263,000 gun locks across the Navy and Marine Corps in an effort to promote lethal means safety. And like I mentioned earlier, personal firearms aren't necessarily something that is a factor here in Italy because they're illegal to own. But we're all headed back to the States, and we all may be heading back to our own personal firearms. So if you don't have a lock for your firearm, you need one, and the Navy will give you one. Suicide is a complex issue, but it is absolutely preventable. And I think lethal means safety is important because that time period between thinking about suicide and then acting on it can be very quick, and moving from thought to action sometimes only lasts a few minutes. Statistics tell us that 1 in 4 individuals who have attempted suicide waited less than 5 minutes before acting on the thought, which is why it's so important to extend the time available for a change of heart or for someone to be able to intervene. If we could just add 2 or 3 minutes to how long it would take somebody at risk to access the means of suicide, that might be the 2 or 3 minutes that saves their lives. It might give you the opportunity to intervene. It might give them the opportunity to come to a different conclusion. But simply put, removing access and improving lethal means safety can and will reduce the number of suicides. It'll save lives, and it protects you and your family and loved ones.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely, you know, eliminating one of those factors does play a pivotal point in reducing like that time and, you know, taking away the means. And it is, most of the time, it's a spur of the minute decision, because we're human. We act on emotion, and sometimes your emotions can get so overwhelming. And so having that extra time for your brain to process, for you to think it out, does play a huge part in saving that life.
Right. There are other ways we can add to that timeline too, right? Noticing those signs I talked about earlier, you can notice those earlier on and intervene before the person even starts to move towards thinking about suicide. So any time that we can find between seeing those signs and then someone making that decision, well, it'll only save lives.
We're going to be continuing this conversation on suicide awareness and prevention. You're just now joining us. Captain Shoemaker and I have been talking about suicide awareness and prevention. Now, sir, our conversation about suicide prevention and awareness has been quite a heavy topic, but it is a necessary one. So what are some final thoughts that you'd like to leave our listeners with today?
First, I'd say suicide is a public health crisis that affects everyone and can have lasting harmful effects on individuals, families, and communities. 2 years ago, next month, this community wrestled with the suicide in our community, and there are still impacts from that. Lives were affected. And while the causes of suicide ideation and suicide death are complex and determined by a variety of biological, psychological, environmental, and social influences, but because of the complexities, we all should remember there is no one solution, and no single person or organization can prevent suicide alone. We have to use the resources that we've talked about throughout this hour and will continue to emphasize throughout the month, but we have to use those resources like our chaplains, the veterans and military crisis lines, our friends, our families, if we're going to make a difference here. One important thing I'd like to stress is self-care and knowing your limits and how they are key to staying resilient while being there for others, because supporting someone who is struggling with thoughts of suicide can take a lot of time, energy, and effort. You know, I was here a couple of months ago back in May for Mental Health Awareness Month, and I sat down with DJ EJ, and you know, we talked about mental health, but what we really talked about was health, because health is health. Mental health is part of health, so is your physical health, your financial health, your emotional and your spiritual health. When I think about self-care and being in a good position to help somebody that's struggling, I think about my mental health, but I think about my health in general. And I think it's good to kind of reemphasize kind of what we talked about in May is treating our mental health like we do our physical health. Things are going to happen in life that may cause a mental or an emotional injury to a person, to yourself, right? And knowing what's serious and maybe what's not so serious. I like to use the physical fitness analogy because it's easy for all of us to understand because we do the PRT all the time, right? So imagine you're out running your PRT and you sprain your ankle, right? And it's swollen and it's sore the next day, right? Nobody's surprised that a sprained ankle is sore and swollen the next day. Well, if it was still sore and swollen and hard to walk around a week or two later, I'm certain that every single one of us would probably go to medical and get it checked out, right? Well, in the same way, there are events in life that can create mental or emotional injuries that we should pay attention to. You know, moving overseas, losing a loved one, losing a relationship that's important to you. No one should be surprised by feeling sad or anxious about those kinds of things the next day or the next couple of days. But if those kind of feelings are lingering on for more than a couple of days or a couple of weeks, that's your time to go seek some more help. So I would just encourage all of us to think about our own personal health in a way, not just we do need to be healthy as individuals, but if we are going to be the resource that somebody in a time of crisis needs, we've got to be ready to do that. It is okay if you are not okay, and it is okay to get help. And then lastly, I would say we have a moral duty to protect each other now more than ever. And today we're going to demonstrate that at 9 a.m. over in the Compass Room here on NAS1. The Fleet and Family Support Center is hosting our Suicide Prevention Awareness Month proclamation signing, which is open to everyone. There's no dress code per se, right? So if you're on your way to the gym, please come by. If you just finished in the gym and you're sweaty, that's okay. I would love to see a ton of people there. Again, it's at 9 a.m. over in the Compass Room on NAS1 this morning. So if you're available, come on out, show your support. I'll be there, and I hope to see a good turnout today.
Yeah, of course. Sir, thank you so much for joining us in the studio today. I'm going to go ahead and share the Veteran Military Crisis Line information again.
Absolutely.
And I do want to reiterate the crisis line is for all service members, veterans, their families who are in crisis or having thoughts of suicide, and for those who know a service member or veteran in crisis. From a U.S. phone number, dial 988 or text 838255. From any DSN phone on base, dial 988. And then from an international phone number, dial +1-844-702-5495 or chat online at veteranscrisisline.net. Again, thank you so much coming and sharing and talking about this very, very important topic. And trust that I will continue to put out the proclamation signing because I feel it is so important for people to know that you are there for them if ever they are ones who are maybe contemplating, you know, suicide. Knowing that people stand together, stand with them, and we are connecting with them. Carrying out those guidelines. Thank you so much, sir.
Awesome.
Really
thank you.
Appreciate you.
Have an awesome day.
Yeah, I hope you do as well. And Sigonella, I want you to keep it right here. Mr. Richard Graves from Credo will be in the studio talking all about Credo events. You're listening to 105.9 AFN Sigonella. That is a station serving you America's best.